Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, fisheries across the region have been active for nearly 2 months now, and as sockeye and especially pink salmon see solid returns midway through August, many are celebrating the long days along our beloved rivers. But as we await a provincial announcement about whether or not communities, lodges, and local anglers will see a steelhead season this year, many are perpetually concerned about how their populations are fluctuating and how the government of BC has been managing these majestic fish. The Bulkley Valley is a steelhead paradise, and even though one of the lowest returns is tracking as we speak here in the Skeena and especially along the Babine River, they are still some of the largest wild steelhead runs in the world. This is not only the lifeblood of these rivers, but brings significant cultural and economic benefits with it. Millions of dollars are generated each year throughout the region directly linked to the salmon and steelhead economy. The activity in local shops, restaurants, and hotels, the families fishing along the riverbank, smokehouses full in every community, is idyllic for any mountain town, and Northwest BC is no exception. Today, we'll chat with Brian Schneider, General Manager of the Silver Hilton Steelhead Lodge, which has been operating along the Babine River corridor since 1961. We'll also hear from Alex Busman, co-owner and manager of Oscar's Source for Adventure Tackle Shop in Smithers, about how they prepare for the uncertainty of another steelhead season and what, if anything, can be done to support and help the growth of steelhead populations across the watershed. Stay with us.
So my name is Alex Busman, co-owner of Oscar's Flying Tackle on Main Street in Smithers. The shop's been here since 1953.
Oh, wow. A lot of years. That's 70 years.
70
years.
70 years of wisdom, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great, Alex. Is the reason why I want to chat with you. Obviously, we're in the midst of a couple of fisheries here, and it looks like there's, you know, quite a lot of activity going around the shop and just in town in general, around, you know, the fish in the river. Once again, how's it been for you so far?
Well, the sockeye opening definitely is exciting for the shop. Super exciting to see folks fishing, kids catching their first salmon, putting some fish away for the winter months. It's really fun to see all that happening, the excitement that it creates. It's pretty infectious to see people coming back with big grins on their faces. And I think if people fish and are out there having a blast, it makes them care more about what's happening around them too, what's happening in our watersheds. So it's so important that we continue to be on the water and catching wild fish is, in 2023, I think it's pretty special.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would argue with that, Alex. You know, obviously there's been some struggles over the last number of years. We see a sockeye opening this year. How's the activity been in the shop for you and seeing that activity and finally, you know, having two good years of sockeye openings? Last year was a big year. This year is doing pretty well. And also tell me a little about, you said the dynamic between, you know, some sockeye fishers and anglers and steelhead anglers is slightly different, which we're also waiting to hear about today if we're going to see an opening with the steelhead fishery. But first, tell me a little bit about how the sockeye fishery has been and if you've gotten out yourself as well.
So yeah, the numbers maybe not as high as what DFO had predicted earlier in the year, but still decent numbers. Lots of people heading out fishing for sure. It's been busy on the river, especially the Skeena, with the Babeen River being more or less closed because of bear issues and BC Park issues. The dynamics, sockeye fishing, I find it's really a family affair. Mom and dad and the kids go out, hang out, catch some fish, potentially bring some food down to the river on the Skeena, enjoy some time out, potentially camp down somewhere for the weekend and come home with a few fish. So it definitely is family and friends being on the water, having a good time. And with the warmer days too in the summer, longer days, it makes for some pretty cool days. Carrie and Lane, who work here, have been out fishing for sockeye quite a bit. I have to admit that I haven't gone out yet. Just been a crazy few weeks here.
It's a travesty.
Just been a crazy few weeks here. Hopefully get out before it all ends here. But yeah, it's fun. The shop is busy. People are happy. Big smiles on people's faces. What makes me always happy is to see kids who have caught their first fish and come back and tell us, show us photos. That always makes our day here at Oscars.
Yeah, no doubt. I've been out a few times, but unsuccessful with sockeye. But I've gotten a couple pink. You know, what's the chatter around, you know, the angling circles around this time? Like, what are people saying? It's a massive pink year. Are some folks trying to go after pink? I know they're not, you know, a fan of everybody's preferred salmon, but what are you hearing from some of your customers and around these parts?
Definitely on the Skeena, people have to wade through pinks to get to some sockeye, it seems.
Yeah.
Big numbers of pinks. I was on the Bulkley yesterday and I was watching some pinks coming upstream, and yeah, lots of fun to watch them come up for sure. And it's good for the rivers to see that high number of pinks come through. Maybe a bit frustrating for some folks who want to target a coho or a sockeye and get into pinks, but I think that they taste just fine if you maybe smoke them, or I'm sure people have different ways to prepare them.
Yeah.
And they seem to be fresh. The ones I've seen yesterday on the Bulkley anyways were all in really good shape still. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're just approaching basically mid-August here. As I mentioned, we're waiting to hear today about an opening for steelhead. The numbers were pretty low, but they've improved quite a bit in the last week or two. What are you kind of hearing around the circles, the angling circles, about this? And I know this has been a tough struggle. We spoke to some lodges as well about kind of the struggles on the Babeen. And a lot of it seems that it's just mostly the concern is the timing. It really comes down to the wire when these announcements are made. Everybody makes preparations. And then there may not be an opening. So maybe tell me a little bit about your perspective from that end.
Yeah, I think it'd be like a two-pronged problem. The first aspect, of course, is we're all worried about low fish numbers. That is the first thing I'd like to mention. Seeing poor returns is worrying, or worrisome for sure. How we wish that things would be a bit different in June, July, and August, that everybody maybe would be a bit more careful out in the ocean, in the Skeena as well, that, you know, potentially a few more steelhead would make it up to where they need to go. So I'm optimistic. I still think that if we let those creatures do their thing, they're gonna come back and do their thing and go back to the ocean and hopefully come back. What I'm really frustrated with is the way the province manages the fishery. not knowing or be having all that uncertainty around an opening is frustrating, especially as a business owner, having to wait until potentially August 15th to know if we have a season or not is not easy. Dan, behind you there are 42 boxes of Sims waders and boots that have arrived today, and I'm not going to unpack them until I know if we have a season or not. We have to book that stuff 8 months in advance to get it in time for a fishery. So as a business, it's obviously not ideal. And what makes me think is, you know, this is Steelhead Paradise. We are a fishing destination. And if we want to continue to be Steelhead Paradise and a fishing destination, I just think that the province has to rethink their management strategies. I think an abundance-based Steelhead management strategy is just not going to work. If there's few fish, few people are going to come and fish the area. If there are lots of fish, more people are going to come and fish the area. So it kind of balances itself out a bit. I think that the province should look at other tools at their disposal when there are low numbers, instead of just having an on and off switch. I think that just is not really going to work for visitors and residents alike. I mean, the person working at the mill and has a week off in September or October to steelhead fish, yeah. You know, they plan that week off to fish, and they need to book their holidays well in advance. So not knowing until the 15th of August if there is a season or not, yeah, is definitely not ideal for anyone, resident or visitor. Just is not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, you mentioned a couple good points there, and I just wanted to touch upon, you know, we do have, you know, jobs and industry and, you know, government and education, all people working in these realms, but a lot of them stay here or they come here because of these other wonders, if we could say, of this place, you know, the rivers, the open spaces, the mountains, the salmon and the steelhead. And it seems like, as you mentioned, person working at the mill, or, you know, the families going out to fish is really what kind of where the stories come and what binds people together. And if we don't have that, if there aren't opportunities for that, then we kind of, you know, lose that part of the community. And I just wanted to point out, you know, what, obviously there's a huge value on that, but there's also economic value here. There's a lot of money that comes in from outside of here, which is largely a renewable resource. The salmon and the steelhead come back every year if the numbers are well and their habitat is taken care of. So, you know, what would you like to see, and what can anglers and other people who are having these similar concerns do you think, to maybe get the government to listen, that the management systems do need to change?
Yeah, so I think what we're asking for is predictable opportunities, so that from year to year we have an idea of what management will look like. And I think it's more than revenues. It's if people are allowed to fish, again, as I mentioned earlier, people care about the resources. People who visit potentially have seen the decline of fisheries in California and Europe and elsewhere, and they understand how special this place is. And I would argue that most people who visit take great care of this place. Can we all learn to get better at what we do? For sure. But again, I would argue that most people who visit realize how special a place that is, and they take care of this place. They want to come back. They want to be part of the community and do the right thing. We've come a long ways as anglers, using a single barbless hook, catch and release, learning how to release a fish properly, how to handle a fish properly. We've come a long ways, and I'm sure in the future there's other things we'll learn and do differently. But as anglers, we're willing to play the role and get better at what we do. I think making money, obviously we all need to survive somehow, but we need to be involved and continue to be involved to care about what we have. I speak for myself here. If in 5 years' time I'm not allowed to fish anymore, I don't think I would invest as much time as I have invested in the past in fish politics. We need a bit of a carrot to care about what's out there, and the carrot for us is to fish. The carrot for us is to be on the water, to have opportunity. And if that carrot disappears, I think that the fish would be in a less desirable place than they are today.
Okay. Alex, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for your insight, as usual.
Thank you, Dan.
That was Alex Bussman, co-owner and manager for the Oscar Source for Adventure Tackle Shop in Smithers. Up next, Brian Schneider is the general manager for the Silver Hilton Steelhead Lodge on the Babeen River. As he prepares for another steelhead season, he says the last few years have been tough, especially not knowing if the fishery will open at the last minute.
Certainly since 2021, when we did have kind of the lowest returns in many, many years, that put the government on notice to be able to, or to come up with this current policy they have, which, I mean, it's a little unclear right now. I guess tomorrow we're supposed to have some kind of an announcement with respect to the whether the fishery is going to stay open. But I mean, the word on the street is that assuming the numbers are trending upwards, that we should be able to keep that fishery open. So, which is obviously, as you mentioned, the uncertainty of businesses like ours is extremely stressful. Trying to move forward with respect to what do we tell our clients, what do we tell our staff. I mean, I have three new staff coming on board this year, and you know, going through the process of hiring them, I didn't tell them. It's like there's a, you know, oh, by the way, you know, you're hired, but there's a possibility I might not have a job for you come September. I mean, that I don't have that conversation. So it's a pretty stressful thing. And I understand that, a certain number of steelhead, I guess they're looking at 8,000 fish to be able to keep it sustainable in the system. And I totally get that. But what we do is angling guides. I mean, we're 100% catch and release, single barbless hooks. I mean, all the angling guides are stewards of the resource, and we land those fish as fast as we can and keep them wet and keep them in the water and release them as fast as we can. And, you know, and what percentage, you know, might result in mortality. Based on my experience after 27 years, I mean, you know, in a season, if we hooked 1,000 fish or so, I maybe if there's a deeply hooked fish or a gill hooked fish, they swim away bleeding a bit. Yeah, there's a chance they might die, but I mean, once or twice a season, it might happen. So, there's a lot of people that seem to not like angling guides. They think that there's always more of them on the water and more jet boats on the water, but that's not the case at all. We have a rod day allocation that the government put in place many, many years ago, and we can only have so many anglers and the way we operate our business, we can also only have so many guests. I mean, I know that a lot of people have posted in the past, the angling guides are just going to put all their guests in a couple of weeks there, right at the at the peak of the season. But I don't know where people come up with this information, because we operate a lodge, and we certainly the Silver Hilton Steelhead Lodge is in a park, and we have a permit, and we have rules that we have to follow for BC Parks as well as for the Ministry of Environment, and we have an operating plan, and we can only have so many anglers per week and per day. So the economic benefits are massive for the community. And, so, yeah.
You know, that's kind of the thing, Brian, you know, every time this conversation comes up, you know, it's always posted next to the other interests in fisheries in the region. And, you know, obviously steelhead is a particular case, you know, as you mentioned, you know, people come in, it's a catch and release, and the economic impact or the money that is spent in town. And I see it every year, you know, people see it every year in Smithers, steelhead paradise. You know, this is a world renowned fishery. And it seems that often anglers are struggling, the government is struggling to, you know, figure out what's happening here. And then also, you know, ensuring that these fish aren't just killed, you know, on the coast needlessly, and you know, and up in Southeast Alaska and these things. So all of this is kind of playing into it. But, you know, for yourself, what's the, you know, the highlight, or what are some of the changes and that you've seen over the years being in this business and angling the way that you just described?
Well, I mean, currently, I mean, we have had, I guess, from 2019 through to 2023, I mean, the numbers certainly have been lower than they have prior to that. And but we also saw the same thing in the 90s. And you know, there's certainly a concern that the steelhead populations are declining. But I've always kind of maintained, and not to be naive, but kind of maintained that there's a lot of cyclic things going on that we don't understand. And I hope that the populations are not declining permanently, and you know, we hopefully get a well, it doesn't look like we're going to get one this year, but hopefully in the near future we get a strong return. You know, 2018 was a very, very strong return. 2016 was a very strong return. You know, prior to that, 1998 was our well, I guess as far as numbers go, 2016 and 2018 were very close to total numbers of fish in the system, but not as many big fish. So to answer your question, I guess as far as changes, I think that with respect to our guests and our anglers, you know, we have a booking agent in Oregon that does a really good job of promoting our operation as well as several other operations in the Pacific Northwest. And people are getting somewhat frustrated with the way that the province is doing business. And I understand, you know, and some of the long-term guests, I think, that we've had over the years, they kind of analyze, like, okay, well, we're not catching as many fish as we used to. And, you know, maybe, you know, they're getting older, maybe it's time to move on. But on that same note, we have a ton of new anglers that have come in and they've never had an opportunity to fish the silverhead before, and they're super excited. And I think the biggest thing with steelheaders, especially steelhead fly fishermen, they have very low expectations. Guys that do this kind of thing, they, you know, a lot of them might be from a large city and they come to the Babine, or they come to the Sustad, or they come to the Kispiox or the Copper, or they come to any of these rivers, and they're like, they're in the wilderness and they're just absolutely blown away by their environment. And they're just happy to be out there. And if they catch a fish, that's a bonus. And I would say the majority of our guests feel that way. I mean, ultimately they're coming to catch steelhead, but they're coming for the whole package. And so I think there's a lot of people that don't understand that, or people that are not steelheaders, it's hard for them to understand. I mean, there's a lot of anglers out there that are about numbers, but steelheaders in general are not about numbers. They're just about the whole experience. You drop them off at a pool and you leave and they're by themselves on the river, and they don't ever get an opportunity to do that in their, you know, their busy work life. So I just like to, it's nice to educate people that are, you know, that may think that, you know, these fishing lodges are just a bunch of rich Americans coming up in their jets. And it's like, well, they're tourists and they're spending a lot of money in our communities. And, you know, an operation like the Silverhead and Steelhead Lodge, I spend a lot of money locally every year. And you know, all of my employees are from British Columbia, if not from Smithers. And so it's frustrating for us, and I don't know what the ministry's thoughts are, but you know, since they came up with the rod deallocation, I think it seems like they wanted to take that away from angling guides. And but as it is, there's no certainty with the current policy. And again, I completely understand, and I'm all for the fish, but you know, we definitely need to look at ways to keep this alive for the future. And unfortunately, Department of Fisheries and Oceans and the provincial ministry don't work together enough to sustain any of it, which is really unfortunate.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.